December 1st. This morning began with a briefing for London by Mr. McCone. Then we went quickly by to see Charles Marsh. I was so glad. There he was, looking like a dying emperor in that great big bed. His eyes still those strong, compelling eyes, but his voice silent. God save Lyndon from that, ever. Then we went to church at St. Mark's, and that I like so much. I'm just real fond of that nice Bill Baxter, and what he said was simple and strong and just right. Next, we drove out to Arlington with Linda Bird following us and Lucy Baines and in the car with us, Bob Waldron and the Harry MacPhersons. There were long, long lines of solemn, respectful people all along the hill in Robert E. Lee's home as we wound up to the gravesite. The gravesite was covered with flowers. We got out, Lyndon put our flowers down. We stood a moment in silence, and then we turned around and left, each saying our own word to the beautiful vista of Washington as it lay spread out below us in our hearts. We went back to the office quickly, and there were Tom Corcoran and Jim Rowe, whom Lyndon had called earlier. That was a reunion I was glad to see. I wanted to be there for it for just a minute. But then I went on to something that I wanted very much to do, a moment with Mr. MacGeorge Bundy. You look around you in this jungle I now find myself in, and you want somebody to tie to, and you look for who is strong and intelligent, and instinct, not prior knowledge or sentiment, makes me think that Mr. MacBundy is one of those. We talked about how to bridge the gap between the Kennedy administration and the Johnson administration, and as Lyndon would say, how to breed the best of the two to each other. And I tried very earnestly to express my thanks to him. I came on home and said goodbye to I'm so glad he was here to help Lucy through this, because in some ways it's just terribly hard on that little girl. She said, Mama, if it hadn't been for him and her, I couldn't have gotten through this. And of course, Jack was the greatest help. And then I said goodbye to and to my own dear Linda. Linda injects those moments of levity into these last anguished days, which makes it possible to live through them. She says, Mama, write me every day, even if it's a form letter. And I say, now honey, call me after 9 o'clock when the rates are on. And she says, oh Mama, you can't get the White House on a station call. And then one morning, when we'd had just a whole lot of company and somebody in every room, and she hadn't been able to find a place to finish brushing her teeth, she came in with her mouth all full of toothpaste and says, you got to get an appointment to brush your teeth someplace. I feel confident about the way she'll go back to the university and the way she'll behave herself. And I do want so much for her to be back up here in February. Now,
I'm looking forward to dinner with the Forces and the Goldsmiths.